Western, we're sending each package 2-day air via FedEx. They will go out by end of business tomorrow. Investors will also get an email from us stating that they'll be receiving an upcoming package with all the details, and advisors will also get an email with a sample PDF of the document informing them of everything that's taking place. You guys remember, the good news is we really worked hard to make this happen, but there's really no action required at this point from these investors when this occurs. The actual transaction occurs on April 1, so they will leave their DST interest and become OP unit holders. And from there, we will be reaching back out a second time, probably sometime in May. We put in our communication no later than the end of June, but we're going to start earlier to the extent we can, but we're going to certainly work toward it, where we'll have to start obtaining cost basis information and state composite tax information. That I feel like is going to be a little more noise, because it's people probably aren't really sure, I think, what they're going to have to provide, so we're going to have to walk investors through it, advisors through it, et cetera. We will have an online tool to help facilitate this. So each investor will have a unique login. We can add advisors to it. We can add their CPAs to it if they like, so they can get access to the documents. But all of that's coming a little bit later. Let's call it May, June timeframe. So this event really is just, you know, a big announcement. This is what's happening. You know, the shares in their accounts will be moving. So they'll have different fund numbers, same account numbers. Debbie, correct me if I'm wrong. But shares will be moving over, and things will be priced a little bit different, because going forward is going to be the you know, everything kind of HGIT related, right? You know, whatever the dividends HGIT pays, that's what these investors are going to get used to. That's what they're going to get paid, as well as pricing on statements, et cetera. It's all going to be the HGIT information going forward. So I'll pause there and see if you guys have any questions about that before I turn it over to Debbie.
Matt, what are you concerned about that the investors are going to be talking about providing? Is it something standard that they should be used to, or is it going to be new for them?
Well, I think that depends, Veronica. I feel like that, you know, having to provide cost basis on their property that they sold, how good are they keeping up with that all, right? And so having to figure that out. You would think these are sophisticated investors and they would be able to have it pretty quickly, but my guess is they're not as sophisticated as we might think, at least a good number of them, right? Okay. This is probably their biggest purchase they've ever made. So I think that part of it is going to be a little cumbersome. And then when you start getting into the state elections, the state composite, you know, certain entities have the ability to do it. Certain entities don't. Certain states require different things. And we're going to have probably 10 or so states involved in this whole process. So I think that's going to require some hand-holding as well, if they elect for us to do the withholding for them. So those are the things I was referring to.
Matt, is the sales team going to be the one reaching out for things like cost basis, or are we outsourcing that?
No, it's all us. Yeah, so we'll have to partner with you guys. We'll see, you know, that when the initial communication goes out, again, that's not going out tomorrow for obtaining this information. But yeah, well, depending on how quickly people respond, you know, we'll probably have to have a call campaign.
So Laura and Jake, let's keep that in mind as it relates to the campaigns and focus. And then Jake, I'm sure you have an email teed up and have worked with Gray and Co. on an internal announcement for the sales team.
I do know that we have one. I know Andre and I worked on just more or less here's what it looks like and what's going to happen, and that's scheduled. Should go out a little bit later this afternoon, so then that way everyone has all the details as far as what to expect. So then that way the sales team would have some of the bullet points as far as timing, et cetera. When it comes to the collection of taxes, that's going to be down the road as we move closer. Not taxes, tax information. That's going to be down the road as we move closer towards that time period. And Matt had mentioned the portal, which is great, because we've heard of other sponsors who were trying to collect this information via email and conversations. And for the client, along with their advisor, if they want to add their advisor or their CPA, to be able to log in to an electronic situation to be able to answer questions, upload documents, provide that data, it it appears that it's going to be a lot more streamlined and better off, as opposed to the manual intensive email back and forth. So we're hoping that people will buy into that and go in and have their advisors added and provide that information smoothly and timely. So
that's great. And then, Matt, will the sales team or Debbie be able to see what that looks like, that dashboard?
You know,
the tool.
Good question.
That would be helpful.
I would think there's going to be there will certainly be visibility. We haven't gotten to that extent yet on who all is going to have that, but we can certainly keep that in mind and share with you the further we move down that project.
Okay. Yeah, I just imagine the advisor is going to come to the team probably with questions. So, Molly, let's just make a note. I know April 20th is the next sales team call. That's probably too early. That's probably the one in May. Don't give them what Matt said, but we should spend some time on that call, either highlighting the tool and or just making sure everyone's in a good spot. And I'm talking for 6 hours. Gray, I saw you come off mute, though.
Yeah. So when we reach out for that cost basis in the elections, is that going to be via physical mail, or is that communication that's via email? And then are they required to use the portal to submit their elections, or are there other options for them, or do we know what that looks like yet?
We're not going to require it. We're going to highly encourage it. I think that's going to be the easiest way for them to get us the information. With respect to announcing, no, we'll probably announce to advisors, letting them know via email. To investors, it's probably going to be more electronic, right? Because this is us setting up an online portal for them to get on. So an email will probably go to investors as well, saying, hey, your portal is now available. This is the information we need. So it's more than likely going to be via email, not another hard copy letter that has to be mailed out.
Okay, great.
Debbie, you got any thoughts? I mean, that's kind of how I was thinking through this.
Me too, and I think also this system, again, I think obviously providing screenshots once it's built, kind of like letting everybody know what it looks like, first of all, and kind of get a perspective of it. And then I believe, if I'm not mistaken, there's also a reminder. There's ways out in that system to send reminders out to shareholders saying, you're getting close, please enter, whatever. If you need help, call us. So we can customize things on the communication piece to draw them in. We recognize that there will be some that are resistant to that, but like Matt mentioned, hopefully it's only 1 or 2%, because the whole idea is to be able to log in. Q&A is there. Type in what you have to type in, so to speak, elect, whatever, and then upload any documentation, and then press go or save or whatever, and that electronically would provide the records for our tax team for us to gather and to kind of make things smooth, as opposed to back and forth emails, right? And then being able to add the advisor and the CPA is a big deal, because like Matt said, a lot of these folks aren't real sophisticated, or may not be as sophisticated, excuse me, and having that CPA in along to work along with that client, right, to tell them what they're thinking that they should elect is going to be a game changer, in my opinion, as opposed to, paper and all of that situation. So
I think the last thing I'll comment on this real quick is there's incentive for investors to do this,
mm-hmm.
right, especially on the cost basis side, because if they don't, what happens? Cost basis goes to zero. That's not very advantageous for the investor. So there's incentive for these investors to get in and do it. I just think we're going to have to handhold them to some extent. Just help them walk them through it.
And something that we focused on, the packet that's being today aired out to clients, the documentation's pretty legal. So we focused on a cover page to kind of highlight and bullet, and I know Grayson, you helped. We all kind of tried to highlight it, push your dummy, what to expect, making things as simple as possible. So then that way, that top page would more or less set expectations and provide them with highlighted high level information that they would need to know, which is going to be very helpful, and hopefully set things straight so there's no confusion, whether it's with the advisor side or whether it's it's with the client side. Wanted to call that out. And when the advisor email, again, we're going to be sending out, if I'm not mistaken, today's the day we send out a communication to the whole sales team. Here's what to expect. Here's a copy of the document. Advisors are going to also receive communication along with a sample copy of the document, so they'll have that. And that way they'll be able to discuss with their clients. If they need the customized ones that are specific to their clients, we'll make those available. We'll be open to be available as much as possible to try to make this as smooth and an easy event, right? Knock on wood, because it is all brand new for these investors and for us.
It could be helpful to have a copy of that cover page that you mentioned just for home office purpose to give them a little bit of a heads up as well that, hey, your advisors, their clients are going to be getting this communication. I think they'll appreciate that heads up just as far as like, here's what we plan to do and but we can scroll up on that offline, but it would be helpful.
You guys are included on the communication that goes out to the sales team, okay? So that means that there'll be a copy of that. So then that way, between you and Sean and Jeff, if you need to run to the home offices, you'll have that available for you, okay? We're trying to make sure that everyone has what they need in order to better communicate and to better to share with all of our teams.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so helpful. Anything else, Debbie and Matt, before we move to Grayson? All right, thanks, guys. Okay, Greg.
Well, this is my first management call here, so I'm not sure what all you'd like me to present.
I think that is.
Longmont, we are just shy of 19 million. I think there are maybe a few big trades hopefully hanging out there right now that we're hoping come in soon, but 19, so we are just about halfway home on that. Atrex 9, we have got $322 million left in the raise. For folks, you know, on the sales team, Laura, there is about $200 million left for basically RIAs and BDs, those that do not have an allocation. So free for all there. We are we've set aside 70 million or 75 million to kind of keep an eye on for Wells Fargo. And then Justin, I don't know if you got feedback, but we had a call with Blake's big trade on, I think it was Friday, but, that one's probably not going to, if it hits at all, it's not going to hit Atrex 9. It sounds like that's timeline's getting pushed back. So, you know, we kind of have that set aside, that allocation for Wells Fargo. It's not a hard allocation, but, you know, we may want to talk about, you know, advertising that kind of more up for grabs, or I don't know if we've got some other folks that are about to come on that we want to just kind of keep that set aside for. So take your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I saw Caruso come off me. Okay, but
that's a super. I was going to ask about that one case in particular, so I'm glad you brought that up. I think if you subtract that out, we're probably still around, around 50 million in terms of indicated pipeline, and not all of that's going to close. So I think we're probably all right and set with Wells Fargo. Why don't we just continue to track that trade? If it sounds like it's going to be an Atrex 10, my mind is just going to, what is Atrex 10 going to look like? I don't have a whole lot of confidence in how large it's going to be based on the last RD call. So this could end up potentially being a one-off if we handle the whole thing. You know, I don't know. We'll have to just keep a close eye on that going forward. But I feel like we're probably tracking around a 50 handle for Wells Fargo at this point for 9.
Morgan Stanley, we are right about the 140 mark. So that's climbing and making its way pretty steadily towards 175 hard cap. So that's where we stand there, about 140. Other than that, I mean, money's pouring in on Atrex 9. The team is super busy. I'm sure Matt and Debbie know, Jennifer and Andrea, with the combination of these raises, are stressed and pressed, and with the upreight and everything, but everybody's kind of grinding it out. So That's where we stand on these. HREX 8, we have these last couple of trades that are supposed to be coming in from one of Congress's advisors, the Sarahs, that do tons of business with us, and they just have not seemed to make their way to us yet, these subdocs. So struggling to get that closed, but they have the commitment to come our way. So working on that as best we can.
Well, great job. Keep up all the hard work. And I saw Brendan smiling about the capacity for RAs and HREX 9, so he's going to give some updates, and I think we'll be all right there. So busy weekend on my side, bunch of emails and some work around Longmont. Also, Matt was involved, as well as Caruso, so I appreciate you guys stepping in. So where we're at is we're going to extend the fundraise through April 30th. There's some, you know, logistics around that as it relates to PPM supplement. We had a really good call with a large group on Friday. It's called Mineta. It's an RA aggregator. So they're going to launch internally in their system and drive things from the top down. So that kind of alleviates our sales team for having to go out. Could change. Early indications, 5 to 10 million, but it's obviously a different world out there from when they gave us that number, and it seems to be changing every day. So, you know, I feel good with where we're at. Much better than I did last week, and I feel like every week it's progressing. So we just got to keep, you know, foot on the pedal. Laura and team are doing a great job to do that internally and working with the RDs to do the same. I think by the end of this week, probably have between 20 and 25 million of just those lagging documents and wires, and hopefully we pull through with groups like Mineta, and there's a few more behind that. Any questions on Longmont and HREX from the group? I guess a good segue to Eliza then. The video we sent out, which was
a huge success. You know, I sent a note around earlier today, just kind of recapping and just taking a step back, looking at the number of meetings we can get, you know, on the calendar and get some people in front of it. It's very impactful. So now it's all on the follow-up. The RIA channel session was kind of funny. We were running from meetings over to another location to film, and at the same time, they were doing all the security clearance because President Obama was speaking like in an hour or two from then. So there was like a lot of security and a lot of like logistics going on in the room. So they threw him up on the camera, did the interview. It was like, you know, no rehearsals, just put him on there. 3 minutes, he was done and off. So it was quick, but I'm sure, you know, I couldn't hear it because there was a lot of commotion going on, but I was watching. Looked like it went off without a hitch, so we'll look forward to seeing that. And ways we can promote that down the road would be great. But you know, so speaking of some conferences, we do have the iCapital RIA Roadshow kicking off next month on April 16th in New York City at our 345 Hudson office. So Sharon's been really leading the charge with getting a lot of this organized and kicked off. It's a half-day event in partnership with iCapital and several other GPs, targeting 50 RIAs and potential some home office to join there as well. And with this one in particular, I think Omar is going to be attending, so trying to get some meeting on the calendar for him to fill that morning slot or those morning hours beforehand, some of which will come from some of the work we did at the iCapital Connect conference last week. And then we have the second one in Houston on the 21st of May, I believe, where, you know, we'll look to do some similar fold-in meetings, whether that's with Wells Fargo, although, you know, it sounds like Doremus has, like, a different schedule going on, which is fine. We could probably get Citi involved there as well. So looking forward to that and just folding in some additional meetings where we've got some high-profile speakers on our end attending. In addition to that, Wells Fargo, so you mentioned that, Sharon, you know, we have our AI exchanges that are getting on the calendar now. Grayson, you're the next guy up, so looking forward to having you up in Boston. Get working on that Boston accent, if you don't mind. Should be a good event. It's like speed dating for the first day. The second day is a lot more like home office and like general sessions, GP stuff. And then the last day is our session. So Sharon's already coordinating with Wells Fargo on that. She'll get everything she needs from you as far as your bio and all that and all the logistics sorted out. But looking forward to having you up there for that one as well. And then, yeah, Sharon, on PWS Symposium, never too soon to start thinking about it. We were talking about it actually last week when we were with Omar, just thinking about, you know, it's probably the right time to start thinking about who our keynote speaker is going to be, just given that it's the date, I think, is September 23rd that we have for this event. So would love to start thinking about that sooner rather than later as far as who's available, who would be a good fit for this and within our budget. And then also just thinking about, I think the client panels really resonate well with the audience. So, you know, Justin, maybe you and I can put our heads together. Maybe it's like a CIO panel with Cameron Dawson and Kevin Gordon and maybe one other. We just kind of talk broadly markets and then try to steer the conversation toward real estate. Or otherwise, we can do like more due diligence folks, but let's start thinking about if we can put a straw man agenda together for that as far as like what sessions we'd like to have and then go from there. But maybe it makes sense to start like a bi-weekly call would be my suggestion for the PWS symposium.
Yes, for sure. We can do that.
Aside from conferences, let me talk about like some new business updates and developments. So Merrill is moving ahead really well this year and tracking for a Q4 launch for Atrex and HKit. Dana has been leading the charge on the on-site due diligence, so thank you. That agenda came together really nicely. I like the way that's looking for later in April. And then we also started a bi-weekly ops call. So, Debbie, thank you so much for jumping on that. And Matt, looking forward to getting you on that. I think for the first couple of those meetings, they're going to have to be ad hoc with everybody's calendars being up in the air. But then I think starting in May, we'll have a regular cadence with them. And this is really just to answer questions and make sure all the plumbing's going to fit. And, you know, it was their request to meet bi-weekly. So I'm sure if there comes a week where, you know, it doesn't make sense to meet, they'll cancel it. But for now, let's just, you know, we'll keep on this 1 hour bi-weekly call and see where it takes us. But it's going to be just very operational in nature for the time being, and then we'll see what happens this summer. So that's moving together really well. I think HKit, I'll put that in the new business development bucket. Justin and I heard from the head of their platform last week that they're tracking Q3, Q4 for HKit onboarding. So what I would suggest, and maybe this is Grayson and Laura, you know, you guys are very much on the front lines as well, as we're having conversations with wealth advisors and they're indicating interest in HKit, because it's obviously going to come up in conversation as we talk HREX. Let's just make note of it. Let's keep a pipeline of it. And what I'd love to do is just pepper wells with that pipeline every month for now. And then as it goes on into the summer, maybe like every other week, just to really push on. Here's the demand we're getting for HKit. Can we push that timeline to sooner? Because obviously Q3, Q4 is a six-month window. I'd love to get that to be in the Q3 window. And realistically, it's not going to be early Q3. I think the best we're going to do is late Q3. But I think we have an angle to say, look, like, launch HKit in the summer. We don't care. Like, we're already in your system talking to HREX. Save new managers for Q4 when they need that momentum coming back from the summer. But anyway, I know you guys are already keeping tabs on it now. Justin, you have that spreadsheet that you have the RDs working on, but anything that you hear from the field as far as, you know, hey, we would use HKit as well, so if no one available, let's mark it down and we'll just pepper their home office with it.
Yeah, and I'll re-add Grayson and Laura there, but I think you guys have access to that spreadsheet. And look, that it's a moving target. We've heard Q2, now we hear Q3, Q4, so it's flexible. We just need the ammunition, like John said. But look, John, I mean, to say by year end we're going to have three of the four major platforms is absolutely incredible. And, you know, I'm looking at Brendan right now, but I can tell you, at Nuveen, Merrill alone took that group 6 years to get on board. So, look, it's a testament to the firm and everything we have to offer, but you and the team. So appreciate that.
Like a baby, right. It takes a village. To
100%. Looking at Dana, and Veronica's going to play a role in this. And then you
like, I think everybody on this call and more have touched this in some way, shape, or form. But it's going to be impactful for the business. I mean, just I think, Justin, what you're alluding to is just like the number of advisors we're going to be calling on in 2026 versus 2025 is just exploding. There's a couple more that I can touch on here, and just in the interest of time, I'll keep it brief. But it's going to be like all hands on deck for some of these firms that are coming on board. I would say, coming from last week again, you know, we talked to Stiefel, and you know, that was a firm that we were chasing early last year. In the summer, we had heard they changed priorities, so they weren't going to be adding a 1031 product. You know, we just met with them on Wednesday last week, and it's like, hey, we might be able to get you guys on in the next 1 to 3 months because of our connectivity with iCapital. They're doing the due diligence and they have a need and they're actively adding right now. That's a $500 billion shop. It's a national footprint of advisors. You know, that could be materializing this year. Again, they went sideways on us last year, so never, I'm not going to count our chicks before they hatch, but they're in the mix. And then Ed Jones, right? Like, they've been kind of slow to come around to us, but we just got access, and I wanted to bring that up on this call. There's a vendor that they use for, almost like their data room, their version. It's called Coupa, C-O-U-P-A. I just started to get inquiries to add personnel to this portal for the purpose of exchanging information. This round of due diligence on us is going to really more involve, I think, the firm side of like an RFI, less on the product, less on HGIF, but things are finally starting to show some momentum on the edge owned side, and that's 20,000 financial advisors. When they do launch us, let's just call it year end, it's not going to be all 20,000 financial advisors. It's a subset of those advisors. They're going to basically slowly expand their platform in parallel to slowly giving their advisors access to this new platform that they're rolling out. But that is finally, just as of last week, starting to show some positive steps forward. So it's Merrill, it's HGIF only at Wells that we're chasing, it's Ed Jones, Stiefel, and then Ray J, still in the mix. We'll see where that goes too. That's another firm that kind of ebbs and flows with when we think we're going to be onboarding. But, you know, it's a lot of opportunity out there. It's going to take a lot of you guys and your help, whether it's IDD, ODD, shareholder services, and then ultimately marketing, right, to bring this all together. So that's on the right, side, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, let's pivot over to Jake and then Laura.
And, John, just so you know, Hans uses Coupa, too, for just so you're aware, we do use Coupa as well, just for your information. We kind of use it for kind of like approval of vendors, but we do
use that. I saw that, and they sent me the request to merge, like, I guess, a bunch of different personnel into one, I guess, like, Hines bucket. So I didn't do anything with it. Maybe, Laronica, I'll send this to you if these folks look familiar to you. I'm sure they come from across the firm, but why don't I just send this to you for awareness since you're familiar with the platform?
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Richard?
Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm just going to start with, so it's been talked about on this call already, start with the outreach. So following off the email of it today or tomorrow, we're working closely with them, but we're going to send out some talking points to kind of like a call script, if you will, with FAQs to the sales team. We're targeting about 250 advisors between M and 200 Barclays, but that should be used for the upcoming call dance campaign later this week. So sales will be like pulling the loop there. John, I sent you, Jeff, and Sean that same document. You can send that to home offices if you'd like to. I'm pretty sure DDU for compliance, so you got that as well. On that topic as well, Mr. Grayson Taylor is going to do a quick update there and a HUSB tax season training this Thursday, or excuse me, this Wednesday for the desk. Talking about K-1 coverage, answering those questions, kind of getting that handled and processed like we did for the DST tax talk a few weeks back. So that's all on that front, sort of on the training front. Thinking about some of the comments that were also made on scale and compliance. So Fintrex, that was recently added to Salesforce about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago now, meaning all contact information in Salesforce is updated. So we've got a kind of a cleaned up environment now, cleaned up, air quotes. But why it's relevant here, Eliza, Sharon, Laronica, we're documenting the kind of compliance requirement for mass outreach and marketing cloud communications as it relates to new Fintrex contacts. We're working with Ali, Alex, and Europe on that right now. And then Laronica and Sean, we're also reworking how tasks and meetings are going to be entered in Salesforce, kind of cleaning it up. As you know, there's a number of different ways you can say you're having a virtual or in-person meeting. We're trying to streamline that, reduce the number of clicks, reduce kind of that admin spend that I realize that impacts like compliance and accounting processes. So we're looking at that in the coming weeks and we'll reach out whenever that comes full circle. And then kind of the last two things I'll mention for FinTech. John, I reached out to Jeff last week about Wells Fargo. They're getting just iCapital, so they iCap case subscribe. We're looking at how to integrate that kit data into Salesforce. And lead data, so I'm trying to uncover more on Wells Fargo's kit process, kind of get them some of the challenges of the last couple of weeks, so I may reach out this week to you on that. And then, I guess the last note, we're just really focused on rebuilding a lot of processes right now, so like automated reports, writing manual workloads, getting what's going into relationships and what's coming out, how many calls, emails, meetings does it take to close a trade or move the needle, so hopefully we can start to provide more visibility on, you know, how it's all coming together on the back end, so that'll come. It'll be iterative, but that's kind of up there today, guys.
Great stuff. Hey, just real quick, Laura and I had a call with one of the RDs today, and I know we're doing this, but let's just think how we can further articulate all the work you guys are doing with the desk. I think, especially with, like, the UPRI training, tax season training, I think would appreciate knowing that. because they each have their own efforts as well in territory. All right, Laura.
Unsurprisingly, the desk is still primarily focused on the Longmont capital raise. I was pleasantly surprised to see that Longmont accounted for about half of our outreach over the last few months. So working to move the needle there while also balancing the other prominent campaigns, go-to-market plans with various firms, maintaining current relationships, handling tax-related inbound requests. So it's definitely been an exercise in time management for the team, but they're doing a great job. And so if you take a look at the actual activity numbers, the activity has remained relatively stable month over month this year, which is great. They've maintained the momentum. I won't bore you with a bunch of numbers without context, but to put it in perspective for you guys, if you take a look at Q1 last year, our overall activity compared to Q1 this year is up 30%. Our quality calls are up 101%, and our appointments booked are up 44%. So some pretty steep increases in prominent activity metrics. So I'm really proud of them for putting their foot forward there and continuing to maintain that momentum. Two more updates for me. So we had a new team member join our group a couple weeks ago. His name is Tyler Cook. He came to us from Equitable. So once he's up and running on the phones, I'll be sending out a new territory map. But he'll be joining Blake Lolato in the Southeast as the private wealth consultant for their territory, which leaves two more private wealth consultant roles open. I've actually got a pretty strong pipeline of candidates, so I am I'm feeling encouraged that we'll have a full desk relatively soon. So keep a lookout for those updates. Welcome those folks as they come on board. And then the last thing that I'll mention, and Sharon, this is mostly pertinent to you, but Co and I are working with the Morgan Stanley sales desk to coordinate another visit. It's looking like third week of June at this point, but once I have that date nailed down, I'll get with you to kind of iron out some details. And that's what I have.
Thanks, Laura. Appreciate everything you've done. And then for Morgan's desk visit, just keep Caruso and I in the loop on that too.
So we'll do.
We'd like to go.
Okay, we'll do.
All right, Brandon, take us home.
Yeah, I'll keep it real brief. We've already heard a lot about the iCapital Connect conference last week, but outside of some crazy temps, it was really a fantastic event. We got in front of over a dozen RIA home office personnel. Worked out really well because many of these groups we are actually working through upcoming launches. So just to highlight those briefly, Arda is a fintech platform with an internal white label. They recently added HGET Onshore and Offshore. We'll work to have two different launch calls next month, Onshore, Offshore, but not a group that we need to wholesale. It's all done kind of top to top, and they will run with it. Carry Street Partners is a $12 billion RIA. They just launched, and they have a smaller number of users, so it was good to connect with their key personnel last week, and Justin's going to see them again this week. We're working to get some kind of warm introductions since it's a smaller number of alts users. New Edge is a $70 billion group. Their ultra high net worth segment is called New Edge Wealth. They have HGIT and HREX as the next products on their docket to launch, which looks like it's going to be, if not late April, early May. And then Moneta is a $50 billion group. Big alt users, but they have not had a 1031 solution to date. HREX is set to be approved as their recommended 721 solution, also probably launching in May, if not late April. The CIO had a chance to speak with Omar about Longmont, and then last Friday with Chris and Elliot. They are prepping internal documents, but they're going to start promoting Longmont to their advisors this week. And then, as Justin alluded to earlier, we also have Merit and Apollon, which are another combined $35 billion, sitting on the side right now because they are limited to Case. But as soon as we get approved with HREX at Case, that's another couple groups that will launch quick. So if not April, you know, I think the May-June period, we're looking at quite a bit of AUM having our products on board. So a lot of good tailwinds there in the RIA space.
Any questions for Brendan?
10 minutes ago, the final sub-docs for HREX 8 flow in, so speak of the devil, so God willing, we will close that raise this week.
That's great.